of the president's speech yesterday. And he was going on, talking about different things, and made me think about this. He said he went over to Iraq, and he said he flew in Iraq. He said, here we put trillions of dollars in there, Iraq, and he said we couldn't even land with the plane with the lights on because the enemy was there going to try to shoot him out of the sky. That's what it's all about. And the enemy, he's relentless. He doesn't give up. Amen. Doesn't give up. And he's there. He's always kind of trying to stop you. And you know, reading my Bible and looking at the news, I see all this stuff coming together, man. All this stuff is happening around the world. And some people don't even want to look at the news anymore, which I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to watch all that. You watch too much of that stuff, it depresses you. But the enemy is real. It's a real thing. I mean, we got an enemy. America has enemies. We have enemies all over the world. And they're trying to destroy America. When was the last time you thank God for freedom? Yeah. Thank God that we have freedom, man. Thank God we can worship God and we don't have to worry about somebody busting in here with machine guns and killing everybody. They said in World War II there was a, it was in Russia that happened. And they was having a secret worship service. And they were in a building. And all of a sudden, these Russian soldiers broke through the doors and had machine guns and had everybody stay seated and said, how many of y'all are Christians in here? And they said, if you're not a Christian, get out. Get out now if you're not a Christian. More than half of the congregation got up and left. The other half stayed. They said the Russian soldiers sat there and looked at them and said, so y'all are Christians. You're willing to die. And they all stood up and said, yes. The Russian soldiers took off their helmets, laid down their guns. They said, now we can have a worship service.
Amen. Yeah.
Real Christians.
Yeah.
Real Christians. What Trump said yesterday, what caught my ear, he said he went to Iraq, and he said when he got there, he said he asked the generals there. He said, I wanted to go to the ground and find out what they said. And he said, well, it would take us 2 years to drive ISIS out of Iraq. And one general stood up and said, no, sir, that ain't true. He said, well, that's what the generals are telling me in Washington. He goes, yeah, but that ain't so. He said, what's your name? He said, Raisin. He said, your name's Raisin? He goes, what's your last name? And he said, Hell. He said, so your name is Raisin? He said, yes, sir. He said, how long do you think it'll take us to drive him? He said, 1 week. You just give me the word. We'll drive him out of here in 1 week. He goes, I like you. I mean, folks, when it comes to soldiers, man, we respect, you know, it used to be a day in this country that soldiers respect. Now they, during the Iraq War, they were respected. Vietnam War, my brother came back from Vietnam. He said there was people, he was coming off the plane, they were spitting at him, throwing stuff at him, calling him baby killers and all that stuff. He said that turned a lot of men against, you know, went and started smoking dope and drinking. I mean, they're carrying on. My brother's in prison for life, and he'd been in prison since 1975. But, you know, you can't help but respect the soldiers. We got some men in here that fought in Afghanistan, Iraq, different places. They said during World War II, another place, they said these men's lives were at stake. They went into they were surrounded, and they went out and secretly at night, and they attacked the Germans and wiped them out. And they completely wiped out all the Germans that surrounded this town. They were outnumbered, but they wiped them out. And then after World War II, they thought, well, let's try to reduplicate this. And with the same amount of men, same thing, and with the urgency. And they tried it, and they said it didn't work. And they said, what was the difference between the two? Why could these guys not do what these guys had done? They said, because these guys, their lives were at stake. These guys over here, they were just promised a few days leave if they could duplicate it. They didn't. General Marshall, he said this. General Marshall, he said this. He said, discovering when he interviewed men after a battle, he said, right after a battle, he interviewed men about the state of the battle and about the things that they went through. He said most men were in shock. They were still in shock. And he said they could not help but tell the truth. They couldn't help it. He said he found that when men went through a shocking, disturbing battle, they couldn't help but tell the truth. Isn't that something? He said, but after they had time to think about it, they'll start adding things to it and making up stuff and stuff like that. But take your Bible, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. When we went to Iraq, and you know, when George Bush declared it was at war, you know, a lot of men enlisted, a lot of men got involved, fought in the battle. And how many of y'all remember General Norman Schwarzkopf? Remember him? I liked him. I like when General Schwarzkopf one time, he was showing a video. He was giving a news presentation. He said, here, we just took out this bridge going into Baghdad. And he showed a car. It was funny. He showed a car going across the bridge. As the car was crossing the bridge, they showed an F-16 coming down and knocking out the bridge right behind the car. He said, don't you know that guy looking in the rearview mirror going, oh, my God, what is going on? It was funny the way he did it. It was funny. Schwarzkopf. Norman, they called him Storm and Norman. And but a lot of times when we went to battle, we would say God's on our side. And throughout battles of mankind, there's been 6,000 years of mankind, but only been 200 years of peace. There's been a battle. I mean, been a history of fighting. I mean, just war after war after war. And there's, since the United Nations, and we've said this 100 times, since the United Nations, there's wars going on, 20-some wars going on in the world right now people don't even know about. There's 20-some wars. I just saw where now the Iranians, they got GPS in these little suitcases they're allowing the Palestinians to carry into Israel. So they're now they got laser rockets to shoot into Israel. So wherever they lay down, wherever they turn the GPS on, put a suitcase, the Israeli soldiers are watching, and wherever they put that, that missile will hit that target. And we've had that technology for years. But here now it's getting even tighter in the Middle East. And you say, why in the world we got to mess with the Middle East? Well, you know, civilization started there. And if you look at a land graph, and look at the Middle East, you look at where God told Abraham that wherever your feet touch the ground is going to be yours. So Israel has only got about not even a third of all the property that Abraham walked on. And the Arabs, it's a big battle. You look at the little state of Israel, and that's how I know there's a God. That's how I know there's a God, because there's the only country in the world that lost their land and God gave it back to them after 2,000 years. When people start telling me that they don't believe the Bible, I said, look, how can you explain this? God said it in Jeremiah that they're going to be taken out of their land, and then he said he's going to bring them back after 2,000 years. And God brought them back, and they got their land back. And here they are and surrounded by enemies. And see, folks, we don't realize that we're closer now than we ever have been before for the Lord to come back. Amen. And all the battles. That, you know, and there's going to be a battle. We went to the place, my wife and I've told you this, we went to the place called Megiddo. We went to that place and saw that place. That's where 200 million men are going to gather to fight against Israel and God. 200 million men. And I'm going to tell you something, 200 million men can fit in that place. 200 million. Now, this is a strange verse. This is a strange verse here. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and look at verse 20. It says, and they were helped against them, the Hagarites were delivered into their hand. And all that were with them, and they cried to God in battle, and he was entreated of them. They cried to God in battle because they put their trust in him. They put their trust in him. The Israelites, when they were in battle, they cried out to God and said, Lord, help me. You say, is God in the middle of battles? Yes, he is. You know, there's a couple places in the Bible, if I had time to show you, where the Bible says God even threw hailstones down to help them out. God threw hailstones down. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if you have a bad day when God's hitting you upside the head with a hailstone, you have a bad day. If God's up in heaven going, hey, get that one, bam, and hitting them. And, you know, and then the Bible talks about in Revelation there's going to be hailstones coming out of the sky weighing probably 100 pounds. Can you imagine having your roof just redone with a new satellite dish and you got all your panels on there, your solar panels, they all get busted up, wiped out. Everything gets wiped out. And the Lord is in battle. The Bible says in Exodus, God is a man of war. God is a man of war? Yes, he is. God is a man of war. And you might not realize that as a Christian, God put you here and you're in a battle. You're in a battle. You can be a conscientious objector as a Christian, say, I'm not going to fight, and run like a chicken, like a cunt, and go to Canada.
Yeah.
Or you can stand up and say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
And fight. And we're in a battle. And the battle is not physical. It's a spiritual battle. But we'll get into that in a minute. And it says, they took away their cattle, verse 21, of their camels 50,000, of sheep 250,000. That's a lot of animals. And of asses 2,000, of men 100,000. It says, for there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And they dwelled in their steads until the captivity. These are the children of Israel taking the land that God promised to them and all the other countries and nations coming out to try to kill them. They wouldn't negotiate. They wanted to kill them. So the Bible says the war was of God. And Exodus 15 says God is a man of war. And we're in a battle. God has a book of wars. If you read Numbers chapter 21, look over to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. God has a book of wars. Numbers chapter 21. Look at verse 14. Wherefore it is said in the book of wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea, in the brook Aaron. And see, God has a book of wars. And God's keeping track of how you're in the battle. He's keeping track of it. And, you know, I get excited. When I watch, men like war movies. Women don't, they like love stories. They like to read love stories and romance and all that. Men, they like, you know, they like to see, my wife says, that's violent. Men like violent things. We like it, man. We just like, I don't know why it's in us. It's in us, the way God put it. We just like violent things. I don't like to see people get beat up for nothing. I like to see two guys get in the ring, beat their brains out, and really go at it. You know, you watch that Rocky movie, man. And Rocky, you know, nobody fought like that. But can you imagine a Rocky movie? You know, he gets knocked down, and then at the end, he's, Adrian. I mean, man, they're beating each other's brains in. But when a guy goes to war and he comes back, and we find a lot of times men that went to war, they don't come back and talk about much. Why? Because there's a lot of fear in you. When I had that guy here that was in Vietnam with my brother, and my brother told me he was one of them called the tunnel rat. He was going into the tunnels, and he told me at the house, and he said it was hand-to-hand combat in a tunnel killing people, Viet Cong. And he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about those things. But I'm going to tell you something. This war that we're in, women are in the battle too. Over in Israel, I saw them. The women soldiers walking around, and they were on the street walking around M16s. They're not even M16s. I talked to an Israeli soldier over there. I got a picture with him, or a picture of him in McDonald's. I said, hey, man, stand up. Let me get a picture of you. He stood up and had his hand on his weapon. And he smiled and took the picture. So I walked over to him. I said, that's American-made, right? The weapon he had in his hand. I said, American-made? He goes, no, Israeli. I said, Israeli? I said, oh, come on, man. American-made better. He goes, no. Israeli better. He said, proven. It's been proven. And I was messing with him. But them soldiers over there, you don't mess with them too much because they're on edge.
Yeah.
They're constantly on edge. But this battle, the Bible says God is a man of war, and this battle was of the Lord. And the battle that we're in is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. And, you know, I mean, I realize this, politics in Vietnam, all this stuff going on, and a lot of times politics is in our wars. But the wars in the Bible was for a real purpose. And a lot of times politicians in America get involved, and politicians around the world get involved, and they'll cause wars. They'll start wars. Why? Because of greed or whatever have you. I look at the Civil War, and I've read about how many men have died in the Civil War, and I thought, my Lord, there's 100,000 more than the casualties in the Civil War was over 1 million. People died. 1 million people died for a cause. And there's people that die in wars every day. There's people in the Middle East. There's people in Africa that's fighting for freedom. There's people fighting in the European countries. They're fighting for freedom, for their own freedom. They don't want to be enslaved. Yeah. And boy, I tell you what, if you don't fight, you get enslaved. Yeah. You'll get enslaved if you don't fight. And that's why God blessed America. How many of y'all can agree to that? Say, God. God's blessed America. We had a guy who used to come to church here. He didn't like us to sing Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I said, well, go somewhere else. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for America. Man, this red, white, and blue, man. People died and shed blood for this country. I'm for it, man. But there's a war coming. There's a couple wars. I walked in my work one day over in Pensacola, and all the bosses sitting around, and they were all talking. And I stood there, and I was talking about, they were talking about the war in the 80s. It was, they were talking about Grenada. They were talking about Grenada, you know, going in. I said, hey, man, that ain't nothing. And they're all sitting at the table. I said, that ain't nothing. We got 3 more world wars to come on. And they all went like this. They went, what? I said, 3 more coming. They said, where you get that at? In the Bible. 3 more. World wars coming. He said, man, preacher, you're supposed to be lifting me up, man. You're kind of tearing me down here this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. God was of the war. It was of the Lord. And the wars are coming. Take your Bible, look in Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Our wars are coming. And there's no way around it. There's no avoiding it. We're trying to avoid a war with Korea. We're trying to avoid a war with Japan. Somebody sent out, you know, about China has got 1,500,000 soldiers. But then they put it in a Facebook thing. They said, but there's 10 million rednecks and people, hunters around the world, around the United States, I mean, with guns. 10 million. Now, The devil's job is to take away your weapons. And what the liberals try to do is take away your weapons. So, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of arms. And I'm for having guns. I'm for it. I'm for it. And you said, well, I don't carry a gun. I don't have a gun on me. I don't carry a gun. But I'm not against people carrying guns. I go down to Texas, man, they got open carry down there. They're walking around with guns and everything. I think that's cool. You know what? If every woman was armed with a gun and knew how to shoot it, it wouldn't be no rapes. Be a lot of dead people laying on the ground. Be a lot of dead people laying around there in the city. Be a lot of dead folks. Guy come up, try to rape a woman. Boom. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to try to teach my granddaughters how to shoot. Teach them how to carry, you know, even how to get Nikki to teach them how to use a knife. Where's Nikki at? Nikki's Puerto Ricans. All Puerto Ricans have knives. All Puerto Ricans have knives. But I'm for weapons. I'm for God, guns, and guts. Amen. That's what America was built on. God, guns, and guts. But the Bible says the war was of the Lord. And you say, man, the liberals, like I said, they want to take away your weapons. That's the first thing you do. That's what Hitler did, take away the weapons. Then he took away the Bibles. Yeah. They're trying to get rid of the Bible, get rid of the weapon. You get rid of because the Bible is a weapon.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible is a weapon. Now, look in Revelation 6. And in Revelation 6, and it says, talking about the four horsemen. How many of y'all remember reading about the four horsemen? Most people, only thing they remember about the four horsemen is Clint Eastwood riding up on a horse, the pale horse rider. That's all they remember, Clint Eastwood. Do, 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 do. That's all they remember. but they don't read the Bible. In Revelation 6, you got going through the tribulation one time. Look at here. Look what the Bible says is coming. Now, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to die in this and go in this. That's why we're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. We want to see people say, why? Because the rapture is going to take place. It takes place in chapter 4. And here in chapter 6, you go through the tribulation one whole time in chapter 6. Look at this. It says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. This is up in heaven. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder and of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, that he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. I mean, this guy goes out. He has a bow, but he has no arrows. See that thing? He has a bow. So that means this guy is conquering, going to conquer the world without firing a shot.
Yep.
He's not going to fire a shot. You say, who is that? That Jesus Christ? Nope. That's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit. He's an Antichrist showing up. And look what the Bible says. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given. This guy's already, the world crowned him king. What did they do to Jesus Christ? What kind of crown did they give him? He came to die for the world, and what kind of crown did he get? He got a crown of thorns. But this guy, never done anything, shows up and gives him a crown, and he has a bow, and the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 7, he's got a great mouth that he speaks great things. You got to watch out for people always talking. Always running their mouth, always talking about great things. You know, I'm real leery if somebody keep patting me on the back, tell me how great I am. You know what this generation is? They like to hear that.
Yep.
How great they are, how you deserve this, you deserve that, you deserve this, and you all have this. And this generation likes that stuff. And look what the Bible says. It says in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat up thereon to take peace from the earth. Can you imagine that? You said, man, I mean, people getting killed in the streets of America, all over America every night. But then when this happens, you're talking about taking peace away. And there went out another horse that was red. Red blood. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. A great sword to kill. Man, when I watch the news, I see about all these people dying on the streets, shooting each other, killing each other over drugs. A little girl, 6 years old, just got ran over. The other night, guy was drinking. Backed into for a bar, and a little girl ran out. 6 years old, he ran right over. Just happened. People are dying every day. Innocent people. Innocent. Dying every day. And will you imagine peace taken from the earth? You know what? I'm going to say this while I'm there. You know, your house ought to have a little bit of peace in it.
Amen. Yeah.
I want my house a little bit of heaven on earth, man.
Yeah.
I want our church a little bit of heaven on earth. It shouldn't be hell on earth. It should not be at home. I mean, our house ought to be peace. Peace of God. It ought to be joyful. But there's a lot of houses these kids come from. There is no peace there.
Yeah.
There's no joy. There's no comfort. Man, we're so self-centered, we don't think about other people and praying for other people. You say, well, that would overburden me. No, when you know something, when you know about somebody, pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Help them little children. That's what Becky was talking about, that little girl. That brother, Miss Carrie and Brother Evans took in. She was a bus kid. And her grandmother dropped her off on Christmas Eve at the firehouse and said, we can't deal with her. And she's taking her in, trying to love her like their own. Little girl's got some problems. All the little kids, you think about the next generation coming up, being raised the way the generation is before.
Yeah.
You think they ain't going to have problems? And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of bounces in his hand. And this, like the Black Plague, people are starving to death. Man, America, we've been blessed. And I'm going to tell you, say this while I'm there. Man, when's the last time you bowed your head and thanked God for your food? Man, if a famine ever came to this land, you start begging God. You know what? When Jesus told the disciples how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread.
Yep.
Why? In the tribulation period, people are going to be begging for bread.
Yep.
begging for food. We got abundance of food. Matter of fact, we can feed the world with the ones, what we throw away. We throw away enough food to feed the world. We're so blessed, and you're sitting here this morning, and you're not thankful. God have mercy on you. You ought to be thanking God this morning. If anybody ought to be praising God, it ought to be us this morning. We ought to be joyful this morning. We ought to be glad that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
We ought to be glad you come in here. You all look like you swallowed a banana upside down and ate prune or drank prune juice. And man, you look like you're constipated and you ain't joyful.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Amen.
You start reading your Bible, man, you start going, woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, you've been so good to me. You know, the Bible says much given is much required. Can you imagine our generation now standing with those generations of past that suffered for the name of Jesus Christ? Look here. He said, what are you talking about food? Black horse, black plague. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. That was the way out food. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And verse 7. It says, in this, I'll tell you, while I'm right there talking about the oil and the wine, I told people when the Iraq war happened, I said, you know what, another reason why we went in Iraq is because of oil.
Yep. Yeah.
And people say, it says, hurt not the oil and the wine. Why? Because people like to drink.
Yep.
And they like the oil.
Yep.
And look here. Verse 7, we're going to get to where I'm going to go. I got to hurry because, man, only got the two verses. He opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. There, Clint Eastwood. No, Clint Eastwood ain't going to be no nowhere near it. His name that sat on him was death and hell, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. There's that, I mean, man, that pale horse rider coming with death and hell following him. And you read your Bible, you find God's going to open up hell, and there's going to be some things coming out of the bottomless pit. And man, I'm going to tell you something. Our loved ones, our generation, if the Lord tarries, the next generation, the third generation, maybe the fourth generation of my family is going to go through that if they're not saved.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to live for God. To see your family saved.
Amen.
Have a testimony that, man, that's real, not hypocritical.
Amen.
And the Bible says, it says in the fifth, verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. There's going to be some people that have a testimony. There's going to be some people in that day, in that time, in the tribulation. This is tribulation now. This is tribulation. You say, when is that tribulation? It's a seven-year period. After the rapture, 7 years, there's the four horsemen right there. After the rapture, 7 years on this earth. There's the four horsemen. Look here. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord? Have you ever done that? Lord, how much longer? Lord, come on. Man, this world can't get any worse. Don't say that. Because of reading this, it is. You got loved ones, you got children, you better be praying, you better be seeking God and training them, right? It says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. See, God could stop it, but the thing is set. See, history, we was talking about foreknowledge of God. God has history already set. That you say, is that Calvinism? No. God knows what's going to happen because man's so wicked. Man says, get out of my life, God. I don't want to hear nothing about you. I don't even believe there's a God. And God, get out of our schools. Get out of our government. Get out of everything. Leave me alone. So God says, okay, I'll back up. Here's what's going to happen. This is what's going to go down. Because you choose. And white robes were given on them. Look at verse 12. And I beheld he had opened the sixth seal. This Bible here has got seven seals on it. He opened the sixth seal. And it says, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. They talked about the blood moons and all that. And the moon became as blood. This is in tribulation. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig casting her untimely birth. They talk about satellites, and I was telling you Wednesday night, China is now developing a satellite to shoot all the other satellites out of the sky to control. It says, stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree crashed at untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. You say, oh, this is just figurative, right? It's figurative, right? It's figurative. No, it's literal. Amen. This is going to happen. This is coming. Amen. So the evolution says the world's going to get better. Right. No, it ain't. And people that's pushing their agenda, the green thing, let's sign the green agreement, let's save Mother Earth. You ain't going to save it, baby. This baby's going to burn. Mother Earth is going to burn.
Yep. Amen.
So how do you know? The Bible says so.
Yep.
I believe God. Amen. I believe what the Word of God says. You say, well, let's get rid of the Word of God. You can get rid of the Word of God. It ain't going to change a thing.
No.
You ain't going to change nothing. You say, well, you're radical. Nope. I believe the book. And look, if the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig casts out her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll as it rolled together. Here it is. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, people that people trust in, people that put their confidence in, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and mighty men, every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that dwelleth, that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The Lord's coming back. This is one part of, through the tribulation one time. And the thing is going to happen after the rapture. You say, what do you mean the Lord's coming back? Take your Bible, look at Revelation 19. This is the book of Revelation. God is a man of war. And the Lord's coming back. But I haven't even got to the part where you're in a battle right now. And we talked about spirits for three Sundays, talked about spirits, unclean spirits. And I'm going to tell you something. It's getting harder for you and I to do what's right. And if you don't stay in that book and stay around the Word of God being preached to and praying and, man, keeping your kids around it, because everywhere you turn, they're constantly bombarding you with things that's got things that draw your kids away from God. They interview kids at colleges now. They go to college. You say, well, I got to have a college education. I wouldn't send my kids to no college.
Yep.
Wouldn't send them. I wouldn't send my kids to college. No way. My grandkids, no way. Only way I'll send them to college is a Bible college, a Bible school. Why? Because all they're teaching them now is evolution, act like animals, live like animals, do as animals. And you ask them about, ask the kids on the college campuses about history. They don't know nothing about history. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to keep you blinded about history. Because the preacher said one time, he said, what men learn from history is that they never learn from history. So if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
Amen.
And if people think you came from an animal, they think they'll end up like an animal. You're not going to end up like an animal. And the Lord's coming back. Revelation 19, it says, I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse. Here's the white horse. Same way in Revelation 6, there was a white horse, but they ain't Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. And it says, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. Notice that. God is a man of war. And if God's a man of war, he wants you to fight. Not physically. It's not saying we go take up arms and go shoot everybody that disagrees with us. That's what Islam does. That's what the Catholic Church did. That's what religion does. We're not supposed to do that. Our battle, our fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And more when you Christians learn that you're in a physical, spiritual fight, man, you have to learn how to fight. If not, you'll be devoured. You'll be taken advantage of. If you don't learn how to fight, and the Bible tells you what you can fight and how to fight and who to fight, you're not supposed to fight each other. You're not supposed to fight each other. You're not supposed to fight, go out and try to cut somebody's head off like Peter did in the garden when they came out to Jesus, and Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord. And he took a sword and tried to cut the guy's head off. And the Lord said, put up your sword, Peter. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. The Lord doesn't want you to fight that physical fight like that. He wants you to fight a spiritual fight. And I'm going to tell you something. I said this last week, and I said it a couple weeks. A spiritual fight is a lot harder because you don't see your enemy. But you know he's working on your mind. He's working. Your enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's working, and he's working hard. But the Lord's coming back, and he's going to fight. He's a man of war. So God, it wouldn't it be great if when once we got saved, the Lord just took us out of here. We just got, pew, raptured out.
Yeah. Amen.
But then you would never experience how it is to stand on your own with God's help to be able to fight a battle and win. So what do you mean fight a battle? Some of y'all fighting drugs, alcohol, anger. You're fighting, you know, bitterness, envy, strife. Those things are a battle. You got that battle going on inside you. It rages. God's a man of war. God's giving you equipment to fight. He's giving you what you need, but it's up to you whether you're going to take up arms. You're going to take up the arms or not. And see, to go to a church that don't preach the truth, don't preach the Bible, and I'm not saying we're the only ones, no way. There's churches that believe the Bible, preach the truth. But if you don't take up arms, you'll never experience, and then what happens is you stand before God, you're saved, you'll stand before God, and the Lord said, he'll walk up to you and say, you love me? How come you didn't fight? How come you let the enemy overrun you? If I knew somebody was going to break into my house and come out there, I'm going to be ready for them. I'm going to be ready to fight. If somebody's going to try to rape my daughters, I'm going to be trying to be, if I knew it, I'm going to be ready for them. If somebody wanted to devour my children or hurt my children, my grandchildren, I'm going to try to be ready for them. You know what the Lord tells us? You're in a battle, and they're coming after you. You better be ready.
Amen.
You better be ready. You better be arming yourself. You better be. The Bible talks about arming yourself in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, high places. I'm going to tell you something. High places, you go to Washington, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. Trump used to say, he said this. He said, well, look, we're going to drain the swamp. You ain't going to drain that swamp. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. All over the world, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. Constantly in a battle. And folks, if you don't fight, you'll be overtaken. You become slaves. You become slaves to this world. I see a lot of Christians. You know what happens? You go by and you say, preacher, hey, brother, you need to get back in church. Man, you need to get in your Bible. I just can't. They're all talking about me down here. I just can't. I'm going to tell you something. They can talk all they want. But if I knew there was a battle going on, and I knew the only way I can get help, I need to be in the platoon or in the company, and I need each other. We need each other. In the battle, we need each other.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, it's sad. They said in Vietnam, they said a lot of times the men were shooting their own men, especially the officers that's trying to charge the enemy. They say, I ain't going to do that. They just shoot their own officer. And what happens is a lot of Christians are shooting each other because they don't want to fight.
Yeah.
But they get overwhelmed. They get overtaken, and they can become prey to the enemy. Have you ever found, you know what the Japanese did? The Japanese would strip them all down. You know what the Germans did? They stripped people down. The Jews, they took them to gas chambers. They showed, I watched that Schindler's List. I know it's a movie. But I'll tell you what, it tore me up inside watching Schindler's List, where the children were taken away from their mothers. And the mothers, and I'm going to tell you something, if you've seen that, and they've seen the mothers, when they saw their children going out in the trucks, the mothers all started running for the trucks, and the trucks about run over them, and they were screaming for their children, and they had other kids running around, and a little child was opening the doors trying to find a place to hide, and he jumped down in the latrine, and when he jumped down the latrine into the mess, there was a whole bunch of other kids in there, in the latrine. And I'm going to tell you something, if you knew the devil, if you could see the devil after your children and after your grandchildren and after your wife and after your husband, I'm going to tell you something, you would take up arms if you could physically see it. But spiritually, it's going on. It's going on. The war was of the Lord. I mean, folks, the war was of God. Revelation 19, the Lord's coming back, and he's going to fight the battle. He's going to wipe out Armageddon, 200 million men. But we're talking about the now and now. They tried to duplicate in World War II, where those guys went out and fought the Germans and whooped them and kept the city. I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're desperate, unless you make concern, unless you're real, you will not fight. And you can't see that far ahead of you. All you can see is right now, all I want and my desires, and I deserve it. Then you'll never fight. You'll yield your family. You'll yield everything you got to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you'll never, when you stand before God. Revelation 19, the Bible says God's got armies. They're going to mount up. The Lord's going to say, after the marriage supper right here, we go to the judgment seat of Christ. And then the marriage supper lamb, the Lord says, mount up, and we're coming back. This is Revelation 19 right there. See that? Can you imagine? The Lord says, I got a horse for you, and you ride it. Come back to the battle. You'll start saying, well, I don't deserve it. I never fought for you. I never stood for you. I never testified to any people using your name in vain. I never spoke up. I never told them anything. And Lord, matter of fact, I turned my back on you like Peter did. And the Lord said, well, you're mine. Mount up. Mount up. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. He's our hero. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written. See, he said, why is that many crowns? That comes from his troops. When you got a great commander, you want to give him a gift. You want to show him reverence, gratitude. Jesus Christ is a great commander. You know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ in the book of Joshua? It calls him the captain of the Lord of hosts, commanding officer. He's God, but he's also our commanding officer. Do you take his commands serious? Do you take your orders from him? Do you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What is the word for the day, sir? Dr. Rubin talked about a guy who used to come to his office every day, ex-Marine, colonel. He'd walk in his office, said, sir, what would you have me to do today, sir? The doc looked up and said, what? Do right, man. Just do right, man. Just do right. Look at this. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies, notice armies, not just army, armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. God is a man of war. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron and tread the winepress of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. God's a man of war. Now, my brother Mike Schweitzer just passed away on Friday. He was 70 years old, 69. He's the one that took me out when I first got saved, took me out street preaching. Taught me the ropes like a sergeant would to a recruit. He taught me the ropes, how to stand for God and and helped me. His funeral's on Tuesday. But Brother Mike Schweitzer helped me a lot. He was a doctor, earned doctor. He earned his degree. New Greek, Hebrew, whole deal. He could teach it. I'm just a dumb thump, man. I don't know. I couldn't teach that. But Mike Schweitzer was a soldier. It's ended for him. It's over. I'm 62. He was 69. I'll be 63. I thought, how much more time do I have to be able to serve my commander? How much more time you got? I don't know. Nobody knows. You don't know. But I tell you what, I'd rather go out. They always say a good soldier would rather die with his boots on. Rather go out in the flame of glory. I tell you what, I want to go out fighting. I'm talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Not you. I don't want to fight you. I want to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. My biggest fight is me. Your biggest fight is you. We could go on more and more. You got the gist of it. You got the gist of it. We're in a war. We're being attacked. Being attacked on a daily basis. If you're not being attacked, you say, well, I'm not being attacked, then you just ain't in the war. You ain't in the battle. And what you're telling me is we can't even count on you. Nobody wants to be next to a guy or a woman that you can't count on in the middle of the battle. My wife and I have been through some battles. We've been through some hard battles. I thank God I got a good woman.
Amen.
I got a woman to stand right with me. In the old days, they would say when men were going west, their wives and their husbands stood together in the fighting against the Indians or whoever else came and tried to take their property or kill them. I got a good woman to stand with me. And then the Lord blessed me where my kids decided they're going to stand with us. Why? Because they see there's a real need. And I'm praying that my grandkids would see the same need and they would stand with us. My grandson Israel is standing with his daddy, leading, singing, serving God, witnessing the people. There's no greater joy to a Christian that's a soldier. And we can look at the scriptures. I ain't got time. But no greater joy than knowing that a Christian that's willing to stand for God. Not getting, you see, I'm not saying go out and get mad at people and start yelling at people and say, I'm a soldier, I'm going to serve God. I'm not talking about that. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But there's a lot of Christian soldiers that's going on to be of the Lord. And they've passed and they've served the Lord faithfully. How are you going to end up? Brother Squiggy and I both preach a lot of funerals. He just preached a funeral. And we preach a lot of funerals. I had people call me all the time and say, Samson just did a funeral. He called me and said, Dad, what should I do? How should I do it? Preach a lot of funerals. And you know what? When they take their last breath, their battle's over. They go into eternity. How are you going to stand as a Christian? And you young people raised in a Christian home, have you made up your mind yet? Are you going to be in the battle? It's a blessing to see young people that's in the battle. I get a blessing out of Lara. Lara, I'm not trying to puff your head up, but I get a blessing out of her. She goes after souls. She goes after people. I tell you what, it's a blessing to hear these girls asking prayer requests for their friends. You're passing the fight down to your children. Say, hey, it's not going to be easy. It's a real battle. Don't think in your head that you're going to slide on through and it's going to be all right. It ain't. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. And it's a fight to stay right. How are you going to end up? What's going to happen with Faith Baptist Church? What's going to happen with the people and the descendants of Faith Baptist Church people? The Lord is the man of war. He's looking for soldiers. And like I said, in Israel, the women, in America too, they have women soldiers. But if you're married to a woman, you've got a man that's willing to stand for God together, what a blessing that is. If one of the other won't stand for God, you stand for God. At least the children have an example. They can say, Mama, Daddy, they stood for God.
Amen.
They didn't back up. They didn't quit. They didn't let up. I'm going to serve God like they did. What about it, Christian? Father, Lord, thank you, God, for your word.